Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are many Christians who are active and working diligently in being what God wants all people to be. They are righteous. They're busy in doing God's will in their lives. Now, there are others who profess to be Christians, but who appear, at least, to be sitting idly by, not really participating in the work of the Lord, doing very little, if anything, to expand the influence and the cause of Christ in the world. Well, what makes the difference? Now, we would like to believe that every Christian would prefer to be useful in the Lord's kingdom. We're sure this is what God would have us to do. Assuming there is the desire to be useful, there must be something other than the desire to work that causes some to be at work and others to be relatively inactive. We often pray, "Use us as tools in thy hand to do thy will in this life." Well, what kind of Christian can and does God use? Now, we have examples in both the Old and New Testaments of people who were tools in God's hands. For instance, in Acts chapter 6, we read of the Grecian widows who were being neglected. This neglect brought to the attention of the apostles, and this is what we read. "And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" Now the brethren, having received this direction, and they received the list of qualifications that should belong to those who they would choose, men who were of good judgment and wise and spiritually minded, men of good reputation, 7 were selected and appointed by the apostles. They became tools in God's hands to accomplish a needed work. We also read of the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Ananias was sent to Saul to tell him what to do. At first, Ananias hesitated to go because of the reputation of Saul as a persecutor of Christians. But Ananias went after he was told that Paul was a chosen vessel of the Lord, Acts 9:15. And why was Saul chosen? Was it not because he had shown himself to be honest and zealous and dedicated? He was knowledgeable, he was aggressive, he was a man of conviction, he stood out from among his peers. He was one that the Lord could use as a tool in God's hand. Early in the personal ministry of Christ, he chose the 12 apostles. Now, generally speaking, they were active men, they were workers, they were men of integrity. They were capable of assuming and discharging responsibilities. At the same time, they were humble, they were teachable, they had certain natural abilities, having developed qualities of life that gave them the tremendous potential to accomplish the work that God had for them to do. They became tools in the hands of God. Now, friend, from the accounts of Bible people that God could and did use people in His service, we can list a number of outstanding qualities. As we proceed to note these qualities, we might ask ourselves how we qualify. The Lord uses the talented. A talent is difficult to define. We all have talents in various ways. But it could refer to natural abilities that have been developed or could have been developed. Some are seemingly born with certain potentials that may not be possessed by others. Now, this does not make the talented person more precious in the sight of the Lord. It does mean that they can do more than some others, and they are therefore expected to do more than others. But whatever talents one might have, he must cultivate them and use them, or they will not produce, and they soon will be lost. In the parable of the talents, we find application here. In the parable of the talents, there was money, but the principle could apply to whatever ability or opportunity one might have. In Matthew chapter 25, we read of the 5-talent man, and the 2-talent man, and then the 1-talent man. The first two were commended because they went out and used what they had and doubled their substance. But the man with one talent was not approved. Indeed, he was severely rebuked. It was not because he did not double what he had. It was because he failed to use what he did have. He was too fearful to act. He buried his talent. What a waste. And while we all do not have the same talents, we all have talents and are expected to use what we have. And the greater our talents, the more the Lord expects of us. Luke 12 and verse 48. The Lord uses the trained, those who will equip themselves to do a better job. And again, I would like to refer to Saul of Tarsus. Saul had studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He had knowledge of God's word as well as the world around about him. He knew languages. He was noted for being a learned man. All of the apostles were trained for their task over 3 years at the feet of Jesus. And while it is a danger and a mistaken idea that only those who have been professionally trained can do the Lord's work, it is true that God can use those who have received training. Being a Christian is actually on-the-job training. The more we do in His service, the better equipped we are to be an effective and an efficient servant. Moses spent 2/3 of his life getting ready to do the major task that God had for him to do. His final 40 years was spent leading Israel from Egypt toward the Promised Land. But he had been trained in Egypt, trained in the wilderness as a shepherd. And at the age of 80, he was ready and he served well. And the Lord can use the young. It is not necessary to wait in order to render service. To be sure, there are works and tasks that are not to be left to the young. But this does not mean that there are no works for them to do. Paul saw the quality of Timothy, Acts chapter 16, and he had him to go with him to the work. Joseph, Samuel, David, Josiah, Daniel, John, Mark, they're all good examples of youth at work for the Lord. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Notice the closing phrase also of the previous passage. The Lord uses the pure. It was said of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." John 1 and verse 47. One of the qualifications for an elder is to be without reproach. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:22, "Keep thyself pure." One who lives to the service of the devil in his life cannot be a tool in the hand of God. And while evil in one's past can be forgiven, evil in one's present prohibits him from doing the work he should do. One can renounce the sins of the past. He can repent of them. He can reform his life. But if he continues to walk in darkness, he cannot be in fellowship with the Lord. 1 John 1 and verse 7. The Lord can indeed use those that are dedicated, who are steadfast, and who will not compromise. He uses people who have the courage and the strength and the stamina, like was exhibited by John the Baptist. But the Lord cannot use those who are proud, because the proud gets themselves into the way of rendering service. He does use the humble. Denying self is a qualification for being a disciple of Christ, Matthew 16:24. The emphasis of our Lord that He placed on greatness was measured in terms of service rendered. Some may be like Naaman, who was wanting only to do what he wanted to do, or to do some great thing. Some show signs of seeking their own glory and honor and gain and fame and prestige. To be honorable, one must work without the praises of men. Those who seek men's praise may get that, but that's all that they get. Seeking the recognition of the world, even seeking the recognition of brethren, is not being a useful servant of the Lord, Matthew 6:1-4. Very likely, the most profitable service to the cause of Christ may be rendered by one who is seldom noted, but who goes about his or her daily duties without fanfare, living righteously, maybe earning a living and paying the bills and rearing children in the way of the Lord, caring for those in need, speaking kindly and lovingly to others, refraining from partaking of the evil of this world, a life of prayer and worship, reflecting a humble and quiet way in the Spirit of Christ. Those people really serve the Lord. They are tools in God's hands. But the Lord can only use those who are willing to be used as tools in His hand. Being a Christian is to be a volunteer. One becomes a Christian upon making a deliberate decision to be a Christian and obeying the commands that Jesus has given to enter His fold. In John chapter 6, verse 66, some who followed Jesus heard Him, and they turned away and walked with Him no more, because they were unwilling to accept His teaching and conform their own lives to His will. When the apostles were called, they left all and followed Him. One may have many talents, great training, many other assets that are worthy and notable. But if he or she is unwilling to be of service to the Lord, they cannot be used by the Lord. Dear listening friend, does God use you and use me? Can He use you and me? Are we trying to make ourselves people God can use? It is significant that most qualities necessary for being a useful tool in the hands of God are qualities that we can develop if we set our minds to the development of them. Talent may indeed be a natural ability, but it may be latent. It must be nurtured. Training, humility, dedication, loyalty, purity, willingness, they're all characteristics that we can possess if we're determined to possess them. There is really no excuse for not being useful to Christ. Now, we may not serve the Lord in the same capacities as others, but that is not what is most important. God expects each one to serve the way that he is authorized and the way in which he is capable. But he does expect that. And when it was said of one good woman, "She hath done what she could," she was a tool in the hands of God. I would encourage us all to simply take inventory of ourselves and our work as Christian people. Let each one of us ask, "What am I doing? Am I doing what I can? Am I doing what I ought?" It may be wonderful to work with others and to work with some organized program of work, and such programs are usually offered in most faithful congregations, and we are urged and solicited to be participants and cooperate. But we're not confined to only that way of serving. There is labor that each one can do and accomplish without having it to be some organized program promoted by church leaders. There is that personal, individual, sacrificial manifestation of love and service that's open to everyone. And therefore, I suggest to us, it ought to be in our prayer, "Lord, use me as a tool in thy hands. Make me useful. And may I diligently strive to make myself as useful as I can be." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.